Well, good morning once again, Grace City. And Eric, thank you so much for reading that scripture. And I tell you what, I love the song we just sang, Give Me Faith. You'll find that again in our text this morning. You know, church, in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, when introduced to the idea of Aslan, the lion, the Jesus figure in these stories, Lucy, the little human girl, very tiny, asks this question. He says, well, is he safe? And the answer comes, who said anything about safe? He's not safe. Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. And then another answer comes a little bit later saying, you know, he's not a tame lion. He's wild, you know. Well, here we are, 8 weeks into quarantine, and our whole world remains upside down. And I know you need comfort, so I tried to tame this passage that Eric just read. I tried to make it safer, easier for us, all the things we long for in the time of COVID. And I got to tell you, I wasn't able to make it happen. These words remain wild. But at the same time, church, I know that we need confidence that we will not miss what God has for us, what he wants to teach us at this moment in history. So let's dive into this text together. It's neither safe nor tame, but perhaps it's exactly what we need in this season, in this moment of history. So let's pray together. Our Father, give us minds and hearts that are open this morning, both to your significant challenges and the authentic opportunity we have in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, this morning I'm working from the title, Radical Living, Little Worries Everywhere. And I admit to you, I stole this from Celeste Ng's novel, Little Fires Everywhere. And by the way, I recommend that novel. If you, like me, I'm a family therapist. If you have any interest in family dysfunction, that novel will capture you. It's quite harrowing. It's also a show on Hulu, and it's quite good. But be warned, it's harrowing. She does not put the fun in dysfunction. But in my title, I want to feature the word little, because Luke, in this gospel, in this text, he features the word little. In this morning's text, the word little appears three times, and we've highlighted on your screen. We're going to bring it back up for you. It's little things in verse 26, little faith in 28, and little flock in verse 32. So let's begin this morning with little things, and you'll see this idea of things over and over again as we go through the text this morning. So we first start with little things. Now, church, as Jesus begins his teaching in verse 22, and you see it on your screen, he tells his disciples, who, by the way, have left everything to follow him, he says this, do not worry about your life, the food you'll eat, or about your body or the clothing you'll wear. And the disciples at that time are far more like our friends that live in Tipitapa in Managua, some of you have been there, than they are like us. That's where daily subsistence is a source of real anxiety. And Jesus says, do not worry. These days, you might think of our loved ones who have to stand in unemployment lines or in food bank lines, and they would be closer to the folks that Jesus is addressing here. And he's saying to them, do not worry. All of us have had a taste of it these days, haven't we? Grocery shelves that are absent of things that we have gotten used to, staples that we depend on. Like, where in the world does anyone find yeast these days? And masks are the new must-have fashion accessory. So food and clothing symbolize all of the things that we worry about these days. And Jesus says about these things, do not worry. This is so hard for us. And listen, Scripture has more than a few places that tell us and instruct us, even command us to be anxious for nothing. You see one now from Philippians 4 on your screen, be anxious for nothing. And so he might say to us today, don't worry about jobs or vaccines or what it looks like to go back to work or go back to school. Don't worry about grandparents. I've had so many people online this week with calls that tell me, Bob, I'm so worried. And so this teaching at this moment of our lives probably feels unsafe to many of you. And it gets harder here before it gets easier. Look at verse 25 and 26 with me. Do you see it? Do you see it here? Jesus asked this question, who of you can add hours to one's life by worrying? Well, of course, none of us can do that. And coronavirus only amplifies that truth. A thing that we would love to do, but cannot do, adding hours to one's life, Jesus calls this a little thing. A little thing. So you see, church, how he is arguing from the greater to the lesser. If this is a little thing, then everything must be a little thing compared to what he has in mind. So he says, you see it in the text, why worry about the rest? If you can't do this, why worry about the rest? Jesus is making at least this point, that life itself is out of our human control. And of course he's right. A healthy body can crash in hours due to COVID. We know this. An economy built over 3 decades crashed in 3 days this past April. Life is out of our control. But the giver of life here, Jesus, is saying that he didn't throw us, his Father didn't throw us on the earth at random. He wants to transform our minds. He wants to transform how we think about life, and he wants to replace our anxiety and occupy the center of our existence. Why? Because he has bigger things in mind for us. Stay with me and I'll show you why. So on top of his definition of little things, he warns us with the worry of little faith. And that's our next point, little faith. Look with me at verses 26 to 28. We just read this, but he says, why do you worry about the rest if you can't do this? And then he launches into a lesson about, look, our Father takes care of the flowers of the field. He dresses them royally. If he can take care of the flowers, why would you worry about that for yourself? And then he says this, you of little faith. And it's a warning. These are hard words, right, Grace City? They're hard. Here Jesus is saying, if we allow ourselves to be ruled by the anxiety over little things, we will necessarily be known by our little faith. We will be marked by our little faith. Well, how does this connect? Well, now listen. Anxiety makes up much of my practice as a psychotherapist. So let me talk to you from that perspective for a moment. And that's part of the reason I'm sitting down today, because in psychotherapy, we sit. Now, Jesus is onto something here that psychology learned much later, centuries later. And let me see if I can differentiate some levels of anxiety for you so that we can be on the same page. Now, clinical anxiety that includes trauma or grief or a genetic predisposition or perhaps an imbalance of chemical messengers in the brain. No doubt, church, that is real suffering. And it tends to respond to psychiatric treatment. And if you are suffering in a way and you wonder what's going on, by all means, reach out for help. There's another kind of anxiety called acute anxiety that, and it's not unlike when a pandemic invades your world. It's real, it's present tense, and it leans toward facts and appropriate action. But if acute anxiety overpowers us, particularly on a societal level, a community level, it may provoke deceit and denial and even magical thinking. And when it goes that far, it's very hard to stop. These two have some clarity in their definition. Both, without appropriate action or treatment, can blend into another dimension of anxiety that I think Jesus is specifically addressing. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Church, humans also possess, and I think Jesus seems to know this, we possess a social inclination to adopt anxiety. Let me repeat that, to adopt anxiety into the circumstances of our everyday living. And it's a monster, church. It devours human maturity bite by bite, and it saddles us in littleness. The word worry in Greek, it means strangled or choked. It actually shrinks us. This kind of anxiety shrinks us. Adopted anxiety, in my mind, as a therapist and as a pastor, it is the serial killer of human maturity. It means we live in the grasp of what if, what might occur. So we're uneasy about vaccines and voting and venomous politics and various other fears. And Jesus brings an intervention, not unlike a therapist might. He says, who of you, by worrying, can add hours to your life? I might say it in therapy something like this. How is that working out for you? Jesus is onto something here that he wants to be rid of in our lives. Why does he take on anxiety? Because, church, he wants us to be free to be his agents on earth to accomplish heaven things. Heaven things. He knows that the murderous power of anxiety chokes the extraordinary, it erodes the usual, And it shrinks our faith. This is why he says, you have little faith, because he understands anxiety shrinks our faith. And he's done with it. He wants more for and from his people. Well, it's all been unsafe words till now, in verses 22 to 30. But now the text turns to a new reality in verse 31. Take a look at it. It says, seek his kingdom, and these things, these little things, these things that occupy your attention, the things that worry you and give you anxiety, these things will be given to you as well. I take care of the birds, he said. I take care of the flowers. My Father in heaven will take care of you too. Now look, Grace City, the whole teaching of this passage was built for this moment. He doesn't tell the disciples not to worry because worry is bad for you. Although as a therapist, I would say worry can be bad for you. But he's not saying that. He tells them this because there exists in God's economy far greater things that merit your attention, your action, and your faith. Look now at how Jesus turns us to our new reality. And these now become the worries, although now these are appropriate worries, the worries of his little flock, his little flock. Look at verse 32 with me. This is now our reality as the people of God. Jesus says his little flock should not fear because, he says to you and me, his little flock, the Father has given you the kingdom. Wow. Wow. Why are earthly concerns little things? Because we've been given the biggest thing of all, the keys to the kingdom of God. And I love that he says little flock here. This is unique in the Gospel of Luke. Though his flock, you and I, Grace City Church, the church in Baltimore, the church around the world, though his flock may be little in number, may be little in power, little in social standing, little is not determinative anymore. The strength of the little flock becomes its willingness to live out its faith in big ways. The faith of the little flock is a rejection of the power of the little things, and it's replaced by confidence in the power of the God we serve. So, in his little flock, adopted anxiety is replaced by kingdom opportunity. Adopted anxiety is replaced by kingdom opportunity. Now, Hebrews 11 gives us a brief but glorious definition of godly faith, big faith, that helps. Take a look at it, just Hebrews 11, 1. It says that faith is the assurance of things, this word things again, of things hoped for. These are big things, heavenly things. It is the conviction of things, big things, heavenly things not seen. These are the things of God. You see, church, Jesus here wants to transform your mind and your imagination so that you and I accomplish things on earth that reflect the reality of heaven right here. And Jesus tells us how. Look at 33, and this is hard. But he says this in 33, sell your possessions, give to the poor. He's saying, make sure your treasure lies in heaven. So his little flock, you and me, we have an assignment to be his agent when it comes to material possessions and the precious lives of other people. This is how he provides. He provides through his flock. My Father takes care of the birds, takes care of the lilies. I'm giving you the assignment to take care of his people. Jesus is not saying we ought to become poor. That would be counterproductive. But he is saying that there is a personal cost to living in the kingdom of God. He is focused on the short window of opportunity we have as his little flock on this side of heaven for divine investment. And the question is, are we ready? And we shouldn't be shocked by this. Way back in January, when we began our series in Luke, Corey preached from Luke 4, the job description of Jesus. It was that Jesus saying, I've come to feed the hungry. I've come to free the prisoners. I've come to heal the sick. I've come to proclaim the kingdom of God. And this is now our job description too. We are his little flock. This is why church, so many of, you know, you have been so generous with the resources of this church. This is why we are feeding between 800 and 1,000 kids in Managua, Nicaragua every day. We're doing that every day because of the resources you pour in to his ministry. This is why this coming Tuesday, just 2 days from now, at 2 p.m., we'll be distributing food down in Sharp Leadenhall. And this is for the Sharp Leadenhall seniors and for those who are unemployed and for all those who need it. And if you need it, by all means, come by. We're distributing over 10,000 pounds of food because God has called us to be that kind of ministry. These are wild words, church. They are Aslan words, Aslan the lion words. And in the end, this text is not about worrying or not worrying. It's about what we live for. What do we live for? Here's the final untamed word from Jesus. Take a look on your screen. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I would add, as a therapist, where your treasure is offers a great opportunity for really effective therapy for chronic anxiety. What do you live for? What treasures do you imagine, Grace City? A child, they imagine saving the day, and that's cool. Adults, often, many imagine riches. Everywhere we turn, the profit and loss mindset is not far away. That's very common. These days, all of us, more than ever, we imagine the treasure of health, the ideal of well-being. And that makes sense in the time of COVID. But Jesus raises the bar. His little flock, Jesus wants to engage in his kingdom imagination, visualizing what's possible on earth as it is in heaven without the sabotage of anxiety and worry. Grace City, if you feel handcuffed by worry, choked by anxiety, then reach out. By all means, reach out to friends who might understand. Reach out to Pastoral Telecare, which we offer to you free of charge. We will be there for you. Reach out to your small group. If you feel stuck, not knowing how to exercise your faith and grow your faith, and you just feel stuck, by all means, reach out. Reach out to pastors and elders and friends who will come alongside. And whether we're at home for weeks more or when we venture out, don't be afraid, metaphorically I'm saying, don't be afraid to leave your seat of anxiety, your seat of worry. And with these words of Jesus, in faith, step out onto his field of play, his kingdom purposes. Together, Grace City, we are his little flock, and nothing in this world can stop him. Hallelujah. We are not alone. And let's sing that together now in the song that proclaims Psalm 23. And we give you now to the worship team to sing together.